priest at Venient Spiritus Sancti. Amen. So we hear today that whole passion of St. Mark. Obviously, there's not a whole lot we can say because there's so much to be able to cover. But there are a couple of points that we do need to recognize. First of all, toward the beginning of the Passion, we hear our Lord in the garden praying that if this could be taken away, but not my will, but yours be done. That is the example that each one of us has to have. There are things that happen in our lives, as we know, that we don't understand. At least we don't understand them at the time. We see them as something which is not good, evil in the philosophical sense, not necessarily a moral evil, but rather evil in the sense of it's something that's painful, something that we don't want. But if it's God's will, it's because somehow or another this is going to be best for us. We don't understand how that could be, because there's nothing about it that looks good. And yet at the same time, we all know, as we look back over time, that God brings good out of the evil. We can look at it for ourselves and say, if our Lord had not endured what he did, we wouldn't be saved. So as horrible as it is for him, we remember the reason why he was doing what he was doing. And so yes, on one hand, it would have been much more pleasant if he didn't have to go through all of that. And yet it's the very purpose for which he came. And he came out of charity, because otherwise it would sound like it was something totally callous on our part to say, well, he had to do that so that I could be saved. On one hand, that's true, but we don't want to sit back and say, well, yeah, he had to do that because I wanted what I wanted. Wrong attitude. He had to do that because it was what God wanted. Because God wanted our salvation. God wanted us to be reconciled with him. That's why Jesus did what he did, purely out of love for us. Now, if we look at it from our Lord's perspective, other than the fact that I just mentioned, there is nothing about this that's good. And that's what we have to see in our own lives, that sometimes God allows sometimes horrible things to happen in our lives, things of which we can honestly say there is nothing good about whatever this thing is. And in itself, there isn't. But what God is going to bring from it, that is the greatest good, and far, far greater than the evil that is perpetrated against us. And sometimes it is a moral evil. We look at children who are abused or whatever it may be, and we say, what a rotten, horrible, disgusting thing. And so it is. And yet this is going to be part of the way that person's going to become a saint, is working through that. That doesn't make it okay for somebody to do such a thing, but rather to say God will bring good out of the evil. So you look over your own life and you see whatever it is that's there, whatever has happened in your life, whether someone else has done something unjust to you, whether it's something you've inflicted upon yourself. Think of the people, for instance, who were addicts of one variety or another, and they can only say, well, I did that to myself. That doesn't mean God isn't going to use it. It means he is going to take whatever is there and he will bring great good out of it. Whether we have done it to ourselves or someone else has done it, whatever, it doesn't matter how or why it's there. God's not going to waste it. As long as it's there, he will use it. And that's the part that we have to cooperate with, to be able to say, thy will be done. Not my will, but thy will be done. That's hard for us because we very much like our own will. It's why dying to ourselves is the single most difficult thing in the spiritual life, because we are very much attached to our own will. And no matter how much we want to try to say that we're not, the reality is we are. And so if we can start at least working in that direction toward being able to say, thy will be done, We say it every time we pray the Our Father, but usually we pray the Our Father so fast that I wonder if we even have a clue what we're saying. And do we really mean it? Or are we just repeating words? We need to think about what we're saying. And we need to really mean it. And following from that then, there is something that is in St. Mark's Gospel that's different from the others. Each one obviously had their own qualities and characteristics. One of the things that you will see in St. Mark's Gospel is that in our Lord's lifetime, not one single human person acknowledged his divinity. Not one, ever. The only human person in the entire Gospel of St. Mark that acknowledges Jesus' divinity is the pagan, the centurion at the foot of the cross after Jesus had died, who said, "Surely this was the Son of God." He could say that, certainly because of what he witnessed going on, but because of what he saw in Jesus. We could look at it and say, well, maybe it was because of the earthquake, or maybe it was because, you know, the darkness or whatever. It's like, yeah, those things point in that direction as well. But this man's heart was touched, and his conversion came about because of what he saw happening to Jesus and how our Lord handled it. That is the critical point. And that's, again, something each one of us needs to recognize, because you too are a son or a daughter of God. Obviously not the second person of the Blessed Trinity, but you are a member of the second person of the Blessed Trinity. You have the grace of God, and therefore you also participate in this work of salvation, in the work of redemption. Consequently, you're going to have a share in the cross. Just as we were talking earlier, some of those are grave injustices that happen in our lives. And yet that becomes our participation, if we are willing to accept it, if we can cooperate, if we can offer that united with our Lord. We don't know the fruit that that's going to bear. We can see it in our own lives. We can see, yes, as I work through this, if I work through this, put it that way, then what happens is we become more peaceful. There's a depth. If you've ever met somebody who has suffered tremendously and cooperated with God, there is a depth that those people have that nobody else does. You can't miss it. There's a peace that they have that the rest of us don't, because it's the fruit of the suffering. We can see it in our own lives. We can see the virtue that grows. We can see how we're able to handle these things differently than we used to. If we don't cooperate, all that happens is we become bitter and nasty and way worse than we used to be. But if we can cooperate, we can see that. But that's not the point. I mean, that's part of it. Yes, God will bring great good out of it for us. But just as this pagan standing at the foot of our Lord's cross was able to recognize the divinity of Jesus because of the way that our Lord handled everything, so too, we have no idea how many people are going to be touched by the way that we handle things. If we can provide an example, if we can just simply peacefully unite ourselves with our Lord, if we can handle these things, it's not the way that our world handles things. It's not what people are accustomed to seeing. It's going to be something that is eye-opening to them, sometimes shocking to them, because this isn't what they're accustomed to. And they're going to have to ask the question, what's different about this person? Everybody else does this, and this person's doing this. And there's something about the way this person's doing this that's really beautiful. That's not the way everybody else does it. We don't know who we're going to touch, because it's not what we're trying to do. We're not saying, oh, if I do this, I can impress people. And no. But people notice. People watch. As I've told you before, if you have a spiritual life, people can see it from a long ways away. They don't understand it. They don't know what it is that makes you different from them, but they recognize it. They all do. They can't miss it. And then if in the midst of that, you start acting like everybody else when you're suffering, then they look at it and go, okay, it's not quite what I thought. Or this person's a hypocrite. Or it's, if they have any clue, they'll say, well, they're not as deep as I thought they were. But if we can actually accept and work through this and be at peace, we can provide an example for all those people who are watching from afar. The Lord can touch their hearts through us. So again, that becomes, in a very practical way, the recognition of how we are actually cooperating in and participating in the work of redemption and salvation. It seems unbelievable to us. How can I actually help to save souls? How can I actually cooperate in redeeming other people? Because Jesus left a little bit for you. That's what St. Paul said, I make up in my body for what's lacking in the suffering of Christ for the sake of his body, the church. Jesus did everything that the rest of us cannot or will not do. And he left a little bit for the mystical body of Christ so that the work of redemption as it continues into our day is also going to continue. That's why the Mass continues to be offered. It's the sacrifice of Jesus. But there is no suffering in the Mass. Jesus does not suffer in the Holy Eucharist. But you can't separate suffering and sacrifice. So if Jesus is going to be offered mystically in the Eucharist, then the suffering of Christ is offered mystically through his mystical body. You and I can participate in this work, uniting it with him and continuing the work of salvation. It is the greatest privilege that anybody could ever have. Literally take part in the greatest work that humanity has ever known. That's what we're being given an opportunity for. And usually we whine and complain and kick and scream, and you would think that something horrible was happening to us. But then we look at Jesus and say, wow, look at what he did. Isn't that great? Thanks be to God he did that. Now he's looking at us and saying, come on, cooperate. Do your part. I'm giving you an opportunity to be what you marvel at. And we run away. We need to run to it. Yes, we can pray. If it's possible, let this pass by. But always, always put that latter part in. Not my will be done, but yours.